Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and thank you for joining me today on Radio for Your Mind. We're finishing up our series on the likability factor, how to boost your L factor and achieve life's dreams. You know, it's been a fun book reading this. Tim Sanders obviously been successful. Those that don't know him, he was the former chief solutions officer at Yahoo. He's now their chief solutions or leadership solutions officer. I mean, the boy does crazy and wild things. He's good at what he does. But at the end of the day, he realized it's not about technology. It's not about the servers that you have. It's not about social marketing. It's about your L factor. It's about your likability. And today we're looking at the final little segment, how to raise your L factor. And it's funny because this one may be where you've got to really get out your pen and paper the most. This is the one where there's a lot of details that we've got to look at, what we're digging into, how we're looking at it. And the first thing he says in here is you have to find your likable self. And so many times I think we go through life and we forget about being likable. You know, we forget because we're busy, because maybe we've gotten grumpy, because our own personality has changed. And if we look at this and look at it in detail, here's some things that we can write down. Number one, try to recall the last time somebody paid you a compliment. Now think about that for a second. Was it yesterday? Was it last week? When was the last time your wife or your husband said, "I'm proud of you"? When was the last time you talked to your parents and they said, "You know, I'm really proud of the way you turned out"? Maybe it was your boss. Think about that for a second. When did somebody say, "Man, you really look beautiful today. You really look handsome today. Man, you did a good job on that test"? Whatever it is, when was the last time somebody paid you a compliment? Is it rarely? Is it often? Is it occasionally? Write that beside that. Second thing he talks about, look back over the past year and select the compliments you most enjoyed receiving. Now, that's easy for me. I can get complimented by people on the internet. I can get complimented by friends in business. But the compliments that mean the most to me are when they come from my kids and my wife. Those mean the world to me. The greatest compliment I get before I go to bed every night is when Jetty comes in and gives me a hug and a kiss. My teenage girls have gotten to an age where they don't do that. Or when I get an IM from Paige and it says, "Hey, one of the grandbabies is on her little play cell phone saying, 'Papi, come here.'" Those things mean the world to me. Those are compliments. Number three, think about your biggest fan. And don't, in this case, Tim says, don't use a family member. Think outside the family. Choose someone who doesn't feel obligated to say nice things about you. This person talks about you in glowing terms to others. Write down his or her name in your journal. See, this is important. Fourthly, what would be your response if you were asked in a job interview to name your best quality? Wow, think about that one for a second. What is your best quality? That's important there. Let's look at one of these others. Number five. Except for your spouse or partner, pick any family member who has a positive attitude about you. What is it that they like? What is it they write about? What is it that they say? Write that down. You know, I've got a baby cousin. She's a baby cousin. She's in her 30s now. Her name's Pauline. And Pauline's been my favorite little cousin since she was born. I always call her Sunshine. When she's having a rough day, I can usually just reach out to her and say, "I love you, Sunshine." And it'll perk up her day. She has more talent in her left hand than most people have in their whole body. She hasn't used it all the time, but she has it. Who is it that comes to mind that has a positive attitude about you? Number six, consider either your best friend or your significant other. If he or she listed your top two features, what would they be? Whoa, now think about that. Your top two features from your best friend to your significant other. So I believe Paige would write he's a good listener. Because I do my best. I had to, that's a learned trait, but I learned to listen. I thrive on listening to what others have to say and remembering and understanding it. If it's important to them, it must be important to me. So I believe that's just truly important to people. What are some of the other things? What are the traits? Number seven, think of a role model, someone you admire and want to be and want to emulate. Boy, I can name two right off the top of my head. Tom Hopp. I want to be able to emulate the way that he handles situations in life. I'm actually being mentored with him, and at 10 o'clock this morning, I'll be on the phone with him. I'm just, when I read his book, and I'm doing a video today on Amazon for his book, his book really helped me. The other one would be Derek Brose. I like Derek's tenacity, his never give up attitude, his trying to win all the time to help other people. I like that. I find those two gentlemen have traits that I want to emulate. Think about your role models. And probably the number one role model that I have is Jesus Christ. Not because of the Bible saying he's the Son of God. I mean, that in itself is probably good enough for me. But because when I read through all the parables, when I read about what others wrote about him, his ability to handle crisis, his ability to handle situation, his ability never to whine, I find that's a strong attribute that I want. Dondi Scamanchi is another one. Here's a woman that has been through the pits of hell physically in some areas because of an attack that she had. And yet she's overcome and she's become a great trainer. I just love that. Number eight, pick one day-to-day influence in your life. He or she may be a friend, a family member, a boss, an acquaintance, but not your role model. This has to be somebody else. This is a person whose mannerisms you find adopting. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people. One at a distance is Art Williams. I can tell you that right now. My wife would agree. Constantly, I'm looking at Art and saying, I want to be more like him. I want his ability to be able to motivate people. His heart, everything about him, I like that. And there's others in my life locally. You know, this is what you have to do. You've got to find your L factor, guys. You got to look at that friendliness. When you do that, sky's the limit on where you're going to go. Now, as Tim moves through this last chapter, there's a boatload of stuff, and we're not going to get to cover it all, but it's awesome stuff. He says that under friendliness, there's probably dozens of stuff that you got to do, but there's three things that are important. You need to observe no unfriendliness. You need to develop a friendly mindset, and you need to communicate friendliness. This is huge. And I thought, man, this is great. He says here under observe no unfriendliness, he says, perhaps the best way to boost your friendliness is to eliminate unfriendliness from your behavior. Man, I try to do this with waitresses, with everybody. Matter of fact, today I was at Harbor Docks, my favorite local hangout. It sits right on the harbor, a good cup of coffee and a small laptop, and you're right there on the water. And I noticed today that Helen, my waitress, was off. Personality, her tonality, her friendliness. I thought, man, there's something bothering her. And I told the guys that came in for our accountability meeting, I said, she's a little bit off today. Give her some room. And as we were finishing up our meeting, she came over to us with a tear in her eye and a newspaper in her hand. And she said, my 21-year-old daughter lost her best friend to a disease. He died on July 4th. Will you guys please pray for him? Pray for his family. Pray for my family. I said, absolutely, we will. See, I could tell because of her friendliness that she was off a little bit. People are going to tell for you too. When you're looking at friendliness, you need to understand that unfriendliness is a weakness. Every time that you're unfriendly with somebody, you've experienced a failure, a bad failure. Do you realize when you're unfriendly with people, that one person could have been the one that would change your life? Maybe it was your soulmate and you didn't know it and you'd let them get away. Maybe it was a new business partner. Maybe it was an influencer. See, too many times, unfriendly people, that matter actually, and this isn't, Tim didn't say this, I'm going to say this. You know, unfriendliness is really selfish when you think about it. It's terrible because it means that you're putting your needs, your wants, your desires above and beyond that other person. It means that you're not empathizing. You're not putting yourself in their shoes to say, man, I wonder what's going on. You know, had I just gotten on Helen's case and said, boy, you're acting a little witchy this morning, aren't you? Oh, that would have been devastating. Instead, I noticed a change, and I jumped on it. That's a big difference right there. That's something that we all have to remember as we're moving forward. Friendliness is a strength. Do you not think that she's going to remember that us guys, us motley crew of boys, prayed? We took time out of our busy schedule, praying about what was important to us, and we prayed for her family. Now, I don't care where you're at spiritually. I mean, I do, but that isn't what this call's about. I'm just saying you got to be friendly. See, you've got to learn to observe no unfriendliness. Matter of fact, he writes it this way. Put the initials I-O-N-U. I for the I, O, observe, N, no, U, unfriendliness. I observe no unfriendliness. This isn't wishy-washy. This isn't metaphysical. This is just human nature. Be friendly. Bob Marley wrote the song, No Worries, Be Happy. That's what you have to do. See, the second step is you've got to practice spotting unfriendliness when it pops up inside of you. Tom Hopp works with me on this because I'm a person that sees things in black and white. If I see somebody hurting somebody, I'm going to go thump on them. If I see somebody abusing somebody on the internet, I'm going to say something. And he's working with me to do it in a friendly way, not to do it in an unfriendly way. So you got to learn how to deal with anger. If you're not going to be unfriendly, my daddy was man, he's just a rock star in my life. Rough, tumble, union steward, organized crime type of enforcer. I mean, my dad was tough. And so was his dad and his dad. My great-grandpa was the undefeated blacksmith boxer in the Midwest. That, if you ever watch the movies by Clint Eastwood in the 80s, Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can, my grandpa fought like that, bare knuckles, brawling, and it was called back then the blacksmith circuit. He could thump you on the head and knock you out. So there was a lot of anger in our family, just the way we were. Well, here's what Tim says. You got to delay your anger gratification. Whoa. Guess you got to find another outlet for it. You know, maybe if you wait, instead of saying that nasty word, those hurtful words to somebody, maybe if you just wait, you could calm down a little bit. I know I remember early in my marriage, because of the family I came out of, when you yelled at each other, you showed respect. And one day I was yelling at Paige. And the next thing I knew, a glass went flying by my nose. In her family, they didn't yell to show respect. They talked to each other casually. When you yelled at somebody, you disrespected them. So she disrespected me and almost funked my nose off. I very quickly learned how to reframe the situation. I learned what her love language was. I learned how to deal with my anger better. Instead of yelling, I say, honey, I need to take some time off. Let's not throw bricks at each other. And vice versa, she'll do the same thing. You have to do the same thing with your downline, your upline, your sideline, your company leaders. So reframe the situation. Attempt to recast the person's anger with a different light. Maybe somebody's coming at you angrily. I can guarantee you can dismantle an angry person by asking questions with the right tonality. Hey, I can see that you're pissed off at me and I have done something. I'm not quite sure what, but let's try to get it to where I'm on your page and I understand what you're saying. In some cases, you understand what you said. And you can say, you know what? I can see that what I said has totally offended you. And you work through that. Now, I want everybody to understand, there is a time when all talking ceases. There is a time when you go beyond anger and you've got to eliminate a situation. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about when you're trying to build community, not tear it down. Commit to acknowledging no anger and no unfriendliness allowed. See, if you work on this, what will happen is you're going to work through things. You're going to build relationships. All sales begin and end in a relationship. If you're in any type of sales and you're building those relationships and you're doing it well and you never lie and you're telling the truth, you're going to be a rock star. You're going to zip this thing forward in a way that you never dreamed of. However, if you're manipulating the situation, you're doing things for your own gratification, you will find the relationship will end in anger. So you want to commit to acknowledging no anger and no unfriendliness. Cordially remove yourself from the situation if you see that it's going to explode. Just chill out. Move on. Don't worry about it. End of deal. See, you want to build community, not tear it down. They could be having a bad day and you just need to move on. If you need to vent your anger, do it in private or do it with a trusted friend. It's very simple. If I get ticked off, I call Derek Brose, I'll call Tom Hops, I'll call Jimmy Gilhouse, I'll call somebody that I'm close to that understands I'm just in a pissed off mood because of something, I vent and we go on down the road. It's that plain and simple. Now, here's another one. Even if you can't control your anger, it's not over. Many times I've learned that there are times when something's going to flick, something's going to cross. When I see children abused, when I see women sexually or physically abused, the time for talking's over. We're not going to be talking. I don't take it personal, but I do empathize for that other person, and there are legal ramifications that we use to take care of that. And sometimes it's getting kind of physical as they get ready to go to jail. There are times. And when that happens, it's not the end of the world. You get over it and you move forward. Develop a friendly mindset. Oh, this is great. And it all starts with you. You have to like yourself. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, how in the Sam Hill are you going to be friendly to other people? Look yourself in the mirror. Say, I am the sexiest woman alive. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I am a stud. Now, I'm not talking about getting an ego. What I'm talking about is God made you a certain way. Deal with it. You know, Winona Judd she's a hero. That woman looks good if she weighs 185 pounds or 95 pounds. I've seen her grow up, so I watched her go from a skinny, sexy, beautiful woman to what I would call a very beautiful, full-figured woman. Her personality, her looks, her style. She finally one day had to wake up and like herself and say, you know what? I just like having fun. I like having food. I like being me. I'm not going to look like my mom or my little sister. But I sure can love myself and have fun. Man, she's been doing it ever since. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go out there and overeat. Matter of fact, my wife told me the other day, honey, you weigh 221. You've got to get down to 185 because we need to lower the cost of our health insurance, and I don't want you dying on me. I said, that's in my goal. By December 31st, that's what my goal is, and I've been working on this since January. Man, you got to love yourself. You want to look good. People are attracted to what looks good, and it don't mean you got to be skinny. It means you got to love yourself. They see that in your face, in your eyes. See yourself in others. It's the second one. Man, look at the people around you. Attract the right people around you. Don't be a dull, negative, disillusioned crybaby. Don't be a whiner all the time. Don't poor me, the victim mode. Crying out loud, we got enough of that trash already. See yourself in others. When you spot something that you love in somebody else and you say, oh, man, that's how I want to be, boom, grab that. Create the person that you're looking to be. Personalities are formed. Number three, review your role model's best features. What is it you want to be like? You know, Tom Hop and I tease each other all the time. Here's Tom out here with his studly French cuff shirts and those little that beautiful watch. Got his suit on. He's looking good. That little smile. Boy doesn't have any tattoos. He doesn't have an earring. doesn't wear chains around his neck. It's like, dude, I can't look like you, but man, I like that. So I'm going to go out and buy a t-shirt that's got, looks like a tux and a tie, and I'm going to look good too. Seriously, when you see what you like in others, be that way. Relax a little bit. Say, man, that's how I want to be. I like that. That make me feel good. And go for it. When I was growing up, I had a hat that said forever in blue jeans. Man, I was never out of blue jeans. I moved to the beach. It was different because during that time period of 18 to 30, literally I had gone, or 35, I had gone from forever in blue jeans to custom clothes. Italian leather shoes. Dior. I mean, I wore Dior from my socks to the top of my head. My ties, my shirt, my shirts. My shirts were usually custom made, but either a custom made shirt or Dior. My everything. My socks. All this was Christian Dior. I moved to the beach. I'm in t-shirts and shorts and flip flops. That's it. And usually, even my shorts are where I can go out into the beach. They're just surfer shorts. So you got to decide. Review those best features. This is a good one right here. Recast yourself. Recast as the solution to today's problems. Let me say it again. Recast everyone you meet as a solution to today's problems. Don't look at people and, oh man, here we go again. Look at people and say, I bet they have a solution for me. They're going to help me. They're what I'm looking for. They're what I need. When you do that, the sky can be the limit. 5, apply your fundamental beliefs. One of the things that Derek Brose and I do constantly is we are always out there on the internet somewhere posting what we believe in. Most of the time it's about God and guns, because everything in life revolves around God and guns. I'm being facetious there, and you know that. But we talk about everything. Yesterday, matter of fact, I was on I had a friend of mine, and he said, Troy, there's a conversation going on over here with a little gal from Numis you might want to get involved in. I went over and I looked, read what was being said. This guy did a great job. Loves her company. Great little trainer. And I weighed in. Because what I saw was people berating her for her love for her company and what she stands for, and they were using some just dumb analogies. So we weighed in on that. I applied my fundamental beliefs, not just to her company, but to where she was and what this great profession is about, and I let people know it. Number 6, Tim says, play the greeter today. Man, go ahead. Hi, how you doing? Hey, is there anything I can do to help you? You know, I do this on a Sunday morning quite a bit at church. We're setting up, we're doing stuff, we see people say, hey man, you know where you're going? I mean, this church has grown, I don't know everybody. What's up? I see people in the neighborhood, I say, man, how you doing? If I'm at Home Depot, this is where I really play this role great. I love Home Depot. I know just about every department in Home Depot. I start my day and end my day usually somewhere at Home Depot. And if I'm sitting there and I see somebody and they're looking confused, we don't wait for an orange-vested person. I say, hey, man, can I help you? I hang out up here all the time. Well, yeah, I'm looking for so-and-so. You know what? That's up here in this aisle. Go down to aisle number 10. That's where you're going to find the small tools. Go about halfway down. Look on your left, and that's where you're going to find the hammers. I think you'll find everything you need right there. Play the greeter. I mean, crying out loud. Enjoy life for once. Top your best service. This is number 7. Top your best service every week. Man, whatever you did last week, look to do it better this week. Man, if you're in a company and you just love what you're doing, then share with people what you're doing, doggone it. Kick it up, blow it out, do it right. That's the name of the game. When you do that, the sky's the limit. Number 8, Tim says, study the helpful. Man, this is good. Find people in the course of your everyday life who are supportive. These people tend to be very receptive, so they might agree if you ask to interview them about how and why they do it. Find the people around you. I was at breakfast today with a friend of mine, Carlos. Carlos grew up in El Salvador. He grew up in El Salvador during a time period where there was massive wars, the Contras and the other side. He would stand in line at a Walmart store, and if somebody was a gorilla and they didn't like something, they'd just shoot and blow the person's brains out. Him and his buddies would set out front, and they'd watch the gorillas come and put bombs and blow up the electricity field. Carlos has lived in the United States for the last 11 years. And it's funny to watch him. Because here he is, he became a very big political person, both in El Salvador and the United States and Latin America. He's got a public relations degree, a marketing degree. You want to know what he loves to do, how he loves to serve people? Construction. He found out he did that pretty good. He goes back to El Salvador all the time during the elections, and he works during the elections down there. He works with the elections up here. But I go to him, and I say, I want to study being helpful. Carlos, I want to study what you've done. I want to understand how you've done it. I want to understand how the violence and the pain that you have seen, how you've become such a man of love. You always want to help people. You've taken advantage of the American dream. You came up here, you became a citizen, and you're able to build, and you're able to do. And I see people around us that don't do this. And he said, Troy, until people see the violence and the pain in a third world country, do they ever understand what is happening? He goes, I pray for our soldiers all the time. I know what it's like. He goes, I've seen my friends die. I watched our president blown out of a chopper. I said, wow. You know, when you see things that are going on, when you've lived it, and you go find people that have been there, then you can share. You can learn from them, and you get respect of a different side, of a different breed. It always amazes me, and I don't want to get off on a big tangent, but it always amazes me how people can cut down our soldiers without walking in their shoes. Most of the time, the ones that want to dog the soldiers, not the war, but the soldiers, have never lived in their shoes. They don't understand that life and death situation. So study the helpful. Number 9. Every morning, repeat your friendliness mantra as you prepare to drive to work. There will be no unfriendliness. I like myself. I'm going to kick butt today. I'm going to do it. Keep that forefront. What you think on is what's going to come out of your mouth, so just do it right. Number 10, protect your friendly mindset. Man, don't let dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies get in the way. Go out there and kick butt. Be friendly, be likable, be nice. One of the greatest leaders in history, Patrick Swayze, played Dalton in Roadhouse. Actually, that's where my Dalton got his name. I was watching Roadhouse one night with him, and I said, ah, or not with him, I was with Paige, but he was in her belly, and I was rubbing her belly, and I said, Dalton, that's his name. Getting down another rabbit hole, but listen to me. Patrick Swayze in that movie has a cooler. His bouncers were around him, and he said, the number one rule is be nice. Be nice. One of the guys raised his hand and said, how do we know when it's time to be nice? He said, you be nice until I tell you it's time not to be nice. Well, folks, I'm telling you today, you be nice until you know that it's time not to be nice. And what you're going to find in your everyday life, because most people don't go through a situation where they cannot be nice, is that life is great. Your blood pressure goes down, your stress level goes down, your energy levels go up, and you become a likable person. And all of a sudden, you start to see yourself achieving your dreams. Living the life that you wanted to live. Helping your family the way that you wanted to help your family. That, to me, is phenomenal. Tomorrow is a free-for-all day. We are going to have some exciting stuff I'm going to share. No book. Tomorrow I will announce what our next study is going to be. It's probably going to be a nuts and bolts study. We've done a couple of these really good leadership, self-development, but we're going to get into some nuts and bolts. I'm going to talk to you either about blogging. We're going to talk to you about Facebook, social marketing. I'm going to dig deep and help you take it to the next level. It's going to be something about branding yourself and building your business on the internet, stuff that I do. So it's going to be fun. Be back here tomorrow morning Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you at the top.